Hi, everyone. My name is Nick Cipriano. I'm the president and CEO of River Rock Mortgage Investment Corporation. This is our first podcast, and we have invited Ron Butler to be our first guest, who has Butler Mortgage, and he's been in the business a very long time, such as myself. And we're going to talk about what we think about the industry and some ideas and see how that goes. I don't have Twitter. I'm not even on Facebook.
You have to get on the mortgage broker Facebook thing. You just have to.
It's just necessary. Alyssa is.
Okay. All right. But here's what I'll tell you about this thing. This is about original content. What social media sort of hates is here's a company content. This is company. This is corporate content we're pushing at you. This is corporate sales stuff we're pushing at you. You're better off running a video of a puppy, honestly. You are. You want people to just start to read a little bit of it because people just scroll past the corporate stuff. They just scroll past. Okay. So if you have, that's why, you know, you got a guy like Gary Vee. Gary Vee establishes himself as the content. He's the company. Mm-hmm. Just him. It's just me talking, me videos, me.
People watch?
Yes. What?
People watch?
Oh, Jesus. Do people watch? Yes. Do they watch? Yeah, absolutely they watch.
I don't watch anything. I think I'm an anomaly.
You are an anomaly.
No, he's not. If we're in this building, if he's here today, we'll track down the RBC CEO, and he doesn't have sweet FA understanding of this thing, okay, either, okay? Nothing, okay? When you spend as much time running a financial business as these guys do, guys like Nick, guys like him, different scale, but just as many problems, okay? This media, I'm not interested. And I hate all these people, too. Let's face it, everything on Facebook is either stupid or hateful in Mortgage Broker Facebook, right?
Yeah.
Like, you just read it like you are a moron, okay? Like, you're the stupidest person I've ever met, okay? But, so it's somebody like Nick, or somebody like the CEOs of these financial companies, like, you just get irritated. You start to seethe with some of the utter stupidity. I mean, like, if you have the level of expertise that Nick has, and you start to read this insanity, you just...
It's infuriating.
It's infuriating. I can't read it anymore. Okay. On the other hand, I love to attack, so I can attack.
And do you think that helps your business?
You have to attack. Well, it's Mortgage Broker Facebook. Mortgage brokers aren't sending me business.
No,
okay?
But I'm telling you, but the thing is, a client Googles you, and then they see all these other things you're doing. Do you think that helps the business or hurts the business or neither?
Listen, it's like this. If you try to occupy the center of the road, you probably don't. People look at it and then they just move on. If you pick a side, there's other people on your side.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's a big audience. There's 38 million people in this country. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's a big audience. By the way, social media crosses tons of ethnic borders. Mm-hmm. It just does. Okay, and if they like what you're saying, even if it's controversial, the ones who don't like it will shut you down. They won't come back. They won't look at it. Okay, the ones who like what you're saying, the constant refrain that I hear is, "You're really, really blunt, but it makes sense."
Yeah.
And you'll do some business, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you won't be, because you can't do the, when you go middle of the road, kittens and kittens playing the piano, puppies with sleeping with skunks, all this stuff.
It's boring.
People just, they look at it, ha-ha, move on. But when you say something crazy, okay, like aggressive, humorous, weird, people stop. And nobody's going to agree with everything, right?
Yeah.
But if there's enough people who are interested in what you're saying, that's why you're there.
Yeah.
Okay? That's what social media is. It's enough people agreeing. Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
It's enough people being interested. Okay? Because it's a big audience. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
So you got a guy like Gary Vaynerchuk, Gary Vee, who just sells his own bullshit to the tune of $200 million a year. He makes $250,000 a year on bullshit. He does consulting too, about his subject, social media, but he does a lot of just $200 million a year for, hey, Gary Vee.
So we
recommended these baseball cards. I'll put it to you this way. When I started in this business, you could close a mortgage with somewhere between 9 and 16 pages of documents. That's all. That's all you had to ask the client for. Self-employed, employed on a salary, didn't matter. 16 documents tops. The 300 pages that I'm talking about is not impossible today. And it's very, very hard to explain that to a consumer. Like, virtually impossible.
Yeah, I can imagine. I don't have to deal with that.
No, you don't.
And I never have my whole career, believe it or not, because I've always dealt with alternative lenders. And I was always, as the regulations changed, I always seemed to kind of move.
Yeah, I remember you introduced Accelerator. You had lots of rules about Accelerator.
Yeah, but so. That was a money-making opportunity because of bond shifting.
Absolutely.
That was all about bonds. Most people don't realize that. I'm going to tell you what my biggest pet peeve is in the industry, and I'm going to see if we have the same one. So mine is the bar is so low to become a mortgage agent or mortgage broker.
It's the lowest.
It's incredibly low. And I can't tell you how many times I have gone forward and said, let's raise the bar on the education. Let's raise the fees. And what'll happen is, sure, we'll get rid of a lot of people, but the industry will be far better off. We'll all win by having more educated, more professional, more committed agents and brokers. Everybody wins. By keeping the bar incredibly low, you're getting people that are, you know, a mortgage, a house is the biggest transaction most people will ever be involved in their life. And it might be once, might be twice, might be three times. But to let some of these people loose on some of these unsuspecting people is criminal.
So what should be interesting to think about is that in this province, you absolutely positively cannot cut hair on your own without
a license.
I'm going to tell you what it is. It's about 1,300 hours. Mm-hmm. You've got to do about 240 hours of classroom. You've got to be supervised for the rest. You've got to work directly under you. You have to start.
So what is the resistance? Like, I've been going.
But I haven't told you the best part of the story yet. To become a mortgage agent, you're about 22 hours all in. From the time you started reading it online to write the exam, you're about 22 hours.
And you still don't understand because the exam doesn't have much to do about what you're doing.
Virtually nothing. So we do have this ridiculous, and the total cost to you is about $1,000 to get into the business. And that's at a good brokerage. At a lousy brokerage, it's probably about $800, $725, something like that. So yes, we have probably the lowest barrier to entry to arranging million-dollar transactions that exists in the whole friggin' world. I mean, I think it's probably tougher in Vietnam to get a license than it is here. So yeah, it's an issue. Absolutely, it's an issue.
But why is there no appetite to change it?
Well, the regulator here in the province went through quite a bit of an upheaval. They had to shut down the old regulator, FISCO, for a variety of reasons, which I could document, but there's no point. It's over now. And during the shutdown process, they basically quit working for about a year and a half. The new guys had to get up and running. That took about a year and a bit. And immediately, when they were really ready to start to ramp up some changes, COVID hit.
Yeah.
So everybody was sent home.
No, and I sit on the advisory.
Sure.
And they're committed, smart. Like, these guys are very smart. I'm very impressed.
They're 100 times smarter than the old guys.
Yeah.
There's no question.
And I think they want to make changes.
I think they do, but I think that they haven't had an opportunity. So yes, better education. But you know what really it comes down to? In my opinion, it comes down to we could create all kinds of barriers. We could raise the cost to $2,500. We could insist on people getting 80, 90, 120 hours of classroom or of a virtual classroom. We could do a lot. But the real truth is, if we don't have quality supervisors running the brokerages, we are screwed. Because at the end of the day, you could hire bird dogs. I mean, we know of a brokerage right now who boasts of having 200 people generating leads and only has 11 licensed folks. So there's just a ton of people acting as bird dogs, getting some kind of cash referral, some kind of off-the-books referral, generating tons of applications, just out of that, hey, I've got a big family, I'll find somebody who needs a mortgage kind of approach. Mm-hmm. They're not even licensed at all.
Mm-hmm.
So if we don't have a supervisory audit review, hard-ass approach to making sure that these people who've opened brokerages in the last, particularly in the last 5 years, who've opened brokerages in the last 5 years aren't operating in a professional, correct way because there hasn't been an audit done of a brokerage in Ontario for nearly 3.5 years. That's a series of circumstances that mm-hmm. is nobody's fault, but it's true, mm-hmm. okay? So you got absolutely, what the hell, if you're one of those brokerages that opened in the last 3.5 years, you would obviously think this is a free-for-all, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, not only do I just open, but they never even come and check on me. I mean, this is marvelous.
Yeah, I love this business.
I love this business, okay? So if you really go to the heart of it, you have to go to the supervisors. Who are the people that are hiring? Who are the people that are the guiding minds of the brokerage? Do they care? Are they interested? Do they want to run an honest operation? Do they want to run a professional operation? Do they want to have quality people communicating in an intelligent, truthful, honest fashion with the consumer? That's the real question you have to ask. That's the important question.
Yeah, like I think they're talking about creating a tiered licensing, and depending on the tier you have, what you can do. Because I see a lot, we see it here, where a lot of private people end up doing seconds behind us who should not be investing in mortgages. The file gets into trouble. We reach out to them, and they're at a loss what they've done, what they've invested in. They don't know what to do. And then in a lot of cases, they lose money. And they had no business investing in a mortgage, but some agent has convinced them that this is a great investment because they're going to get 15% or 14%.
Well, they were misled.
100%.
I mean, it is
and just in some a cases they were, and in some cases they, I believe that they weren't even misled. The mortgage agent knew so little that they didn't know what they didn't know. They thought it was a good investment too.
Well, listen, abject ignorance is still malfeasance.
Yeah.
Okay, that's an absolute certainty.
Yeah.
And that flows to the broker owner. I mean, if you're hiring people, not supervising the placement of second mortgages, and when you talk to the investor, their position is that they were guaranteed 14% and that nothing could go wrong, and if the people stopped paying, a lawyer would produce the money out of, on every single occasion.
Right.
They had nothing to worry about. There was no problem because the lawyer's going to give them their money if they stop paying.
Right.
They were just under a completely false impression. And that's because there's no supervision. There's no desire to police that in the brokerage. Because ultimately, that's how we're licensed in Ontario. We're licensed by the brokerage.
Right.
The agents are just registered. Mm-hmm. The brokerage is who's in charge.
Right.
So if the brokerage doesn't give a damn... Just is there a brokerage fee? Yes. Okay, $2,000. I get my $600. On to the next.
Yeah.
So if that's the attitude, you're doomed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the consumer is in trouble if that's the case.
That's why brokers and agents should send their deals to Mix.
100%.
Nothing on Mix know what they're doing either, but
not all. Not all. We know a couple.
Yeah. Unfortunately, during this, and I've done this for a number of years since I've had River Rock, but a Mix have approached me to buy some of their portfolio, mm-hmm. you know, because they've got a bit of a cash crunch or what have you, or redemptions. And during this pandemic, I've had some companies approach me to look at some stuff. And it's not nice, some of the stuff I see. Like, they have no clue what they're doing. Like, literally no clue.
Listen, I mean, we can summarize this in a pretty simple way. Somebody like you who's been doing this their entire adult life as a profession, as a professional, and only applying the most rational behavior in doing lending. In other words, it's a first mortgage. It's on a house that I understand the value perfectly. It's on a street and looks like all the other houses. It's in a town that's huge. There is no question that if we list it, it gets sold.
Yeah, what's the exit strategy?
Exactly. Right. So there's no question if we list it, it gets sold. And I do not vary. I know you don't. You do not vary from that formula, that's period. Right. But if you're willing to say, well, get an appraisal on that house in South Garifraxa with the barn in the back and the, sculpture out front and we're going to count all 180 acres of bush and the value and, a couple of the shacks they've put up to store the cows and the chickens and we're going to assign a value to all of it. Not the chickens, but we'll assign a value to the chicken coop and we'll use that appraisal and we'll lend 80% on it. I guess you're doomed.
But I also say, you know, anybody can have a bad day And appraisers can too.
Sure.
Like appraisers make mistakes all the time.
Yep.
And you have to be able to catch those because they become very costly if you don't catch them. And you know, I'm always amazed how somebody who's never been a lender or never worked in an institution, and all of a sudden they start up a MIC, and they think they know how to lend. Like I always say, just because I eat in a restaurant doesn't mean I know how to run a restaurant. Like lending is actually a skill.
Hell, we may not even know how to cook.
Okay? That's right. Yeah,
that's the truth.
100%.
The idea of putting salesmen in charge of MICs is the same as putting the patients in charge of the asylum.
Right. Okay,
it is absolutely crazy. I mean, all they care about is sales, bring in the revenue, charge as much brokerage as possible, get as high a return as possible. What happens if somebody stops paying? Well, something's going to happen,
yeah.
But I'm not sure what's going to happen because I'm just selling this stuff, okay?
Right.
And we're going to put that guy in charge of the MIC. It literally makes no sense.
Right.
But that's what we see every day.
No, I see it all the time. It gets very frustrating because there's a big difference between one MIC and the other.
So far, we've been blessed in most of Ontario.
Market's corrected most of the mistakes.
Every ridiculous mistake, the market has solved.
Yeah.
That day will, we did, you and I both saw it in 2017 when the prices came off. There were a lot of people left with something in their hands that wasn't a good thing.
And that year we cut back, right at the beginning of 17, we cut back our lending. But the other thing is what I find very interesting too is that you look at some MICs and they have losses every year. How are you having losses in this market every year?
Well, you might also be taking off management fees that are so big that you're guaranteed a lot to have a loss for the investors.
Because what I'll do is I'll do a deep dive, right? I'll see what their average weighted yield is. I see what they're paying investors. I look at their management fee. Like, they're really messing up.
Oh, yeah. They're not only taking ridiculous management fees, they're actually managing to lose money on the mortgages.
That's right.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
it's amazing. I grant you that.
No,
okay.
It's ridiculous.
It's amazing. We haven't even talked about the false advertising.
Oh, don't get me started on that.
Yeah, that's a big one.
I told you about that one last week. There's this guy that, what's the name of that magazine? CMBA? They had this full page ad that this guy blatantly lies every advertisement. No application, no credit, same day funding. Who does that? Like
No
application.
You don't have
no
an address on the house.
And no
That's
funding.
A tough one. Okay.
And who's funding this deal? But this guy, and then this guy who's in his 40s, who's been in the business for 6 years, has helped tens of thousands of people, it also says in the ad.
Tens of thousands?
Tens of thousands.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Like,
well, I mean, Nick, I told you the one about the guaranteed no default program. That was heavily advertised until I gave that person a call. They changed some of the wording, but they got mad at me that I forced them to change the wording. Look, I mean, it's
but
like,
I've called the publications and I brought them to their attention, and then they said, "Well, do you expect us to vet every ad?" And I said, "Yeah, I do. That you're a trade publication. You don't have that many ads, and it doesn't take that much time." And then I said, "Okay, I want to change my ad to 0%, no fee, and I'll pay you to take the money." And she goes to me, "You can't do that." I go, "Why not?" She goes, that's a lie. And I said, "No different than that lie." So I said, "So there's degrees of lies that you will accept."
Well, you're parsing lies then. I mean, you're parsing the lies.
Yeah, there's degrees of lying. So I said, "My, I went too far on the one I wanted to do." So at least we know.
Listen, I mean, it is.
They do have a benchmark over there.
Look, it's again, it comes down to this kind of traumatic experience that our provincial regulators have gone through, the difficulties, COVID, the changeover, new people. I think once the chance comes again to apply intelligent regulation, because you can go and visit offices, you can ramp up, you can decide where you need to have your personnel. It's going to be so much easier. Let's face it. Everybody has to agree that it's hard to organize new things when everybody's working out of their home. You can push process to people's homes. Absolutely you can. You can push paper. You can push document review. You can push a lot of things. But you can't brainstorm new concepts. I mean, honestly, if I got to go through another Zoom call, I'd rather put a pencil in my eye. So that's what we're up against. And I know the regulators up against that. I cut them the slack, but the day has to come when they start to aggressively investigate unusual offerings, whether it's in print, whether it's digitally, whether it's a consumer talking to them about, yeah, but
they have a program where there's never any defaults. Mm-hmm. So why do I have a default? Right. I mean, you've got to really, the regulator has to step up when they've got the resources, when they've got the time, when they've got all their people lined up. There has to be a more aggressive tact taken with people who are blatantly misleading the public. Yeah. Because you know what? There's a ton of money to be made in this business, honestly, intelligently, and the right way.
100%.
Tons of money to be made. Shortcut, the taking the shortcuts is just easier. In the end, you get shut down. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get fooled by the fact that you run successfully for 6, 7, 8 years. Oh, I'm acting crazier every year. I'm doing crazier loans every year, and nobody's come down and right. shut me down. But the day will come that you will be shut down. Okay, it'll happen someday. And you'll say, oh, what's wrong? Well, you were somewhat crazy in year two, but by year eight, you were like off the walls. You were like, this is nuts, okay? And you're shut now. You've broken so many rules, we can't fix you. That's what happens. But, you know, it's harder to do it the right way. It's more time consuming. You have to be more exacting. You have to turn some business away. But in the end, you'll make the same kind of money forever. You'll make a great living forever. Mm-hmm. So there's, especially in the B space, if you're good at it, mm-hmm. especially in the alternative space, especially in the private space, if you're good at it. I mean, you and I both know people who've been in the private space. I think my friend Larry Gwynn is about 107, more or less, maybe older. He's still in great shape.
Lots of kids.
He was a champion boxer. His dad was, I mean, look, Larry, you can do this till you're 108. And make a great living and never lie to anybody and never take a wrong turn. You just have to be careful and you have to believe in doing the right thing.
I agree.
So it's a long-term thing. You can make a lot of money. You can be very successful and you don't have to fool anybody. You don't have to fool the investor. You shouldn't fool the investor ever. Right. There's no need to fool the consumer.
Right.
If the consumer, and I remember you say this all the time and it's true, bad things happen to good people, okay? And they need a year. They need 6 months. They need some time to reorganize.
Right.
So whatever you do, don't tell that person who has a problem that needs a private mortgage, don't tell them that we'll renew you forever.
Right.
You tell them that this is a year and then you're out. Or if
I will renew them forever, though.
You'll renew them forever, but
happy to do it.
But if we did the if we have to tell them at some point, yeah. it's unwise.
Yeah.
To continue to pay, it's unwise interest. To continue to pay 9%. You should either sell or you should
get yourself
find a way to get yourself a bank mortgage.
Right.
And here's the strategy to get a bank mortgage, and you have to decide if you're ever going to be able to do it. And you know what? If you tell the truth, you've got yourself documented. Mm-hmm. You can prove to every regulator that you said the right thing, did the right thing, communicated correctly, and the consumer made a decision.
Right.
With that information. And you know what? They're going to take the mortgage anyway because they believe they deserve that year to fix things up or that 2 years or whatever the case may be. And let's give them the chance. There's nothing wrong with private lending. There's nothing wrong for charging high interest rates for risk. There's nothing wrong with charging fees for risk. That's why we built the business this way.
That's right.
You know, you can either get 169 at the TD Bank for a 5-year fixed and it's wonderful. But you have to fall into this rigorous box. Mm-hmm. So if you're outside the box, you have to pay a little bit more. And if you're not just outside the box, you're on the whole other side of the block, you have to pay that much more. It's just a risk profile.
Correct.
Okay. Which brings us to the next serious craziness in our business, which is why people are offering private mortgages for 4.99. I mean, we really have to start to ask that question. Sure.
But there's lots of hidden fees I've noticed. Like when they get time to closing, there's hidden fees, and then they give them a 6-month term, and then they jam them. And you're not refinancing in 6 months.
But we also have to ask the basic flaw even if it was 4.99 plus 2 or 4.99 plus 1.5, we have to ask the basic risk flaw question. I mean, you can't get a mortgage from any institution. So why in the world is the rate so low?
I agree.
Yeah, because some people are willing to take the chance today because they search for yield. Deposit rates in a bank are 0% or 0.25% or 0.15%. So, and there's more and more, as you've pointed out, Nick, there's more and more mom and pop people going into this business who simply don't
chasing yields.
Chasing yield, don't have a clue about a risk. because there was never they were never told of it. Mm-hmm. But when you price a private mortgage that low and you have to do a remedy action, it doesn't make any sense anymore. Nobody's making any money. There's a cost to doing remedy. You have to front that money until you've got the house sold. Mm-hmm. There's many problems. And guess what? To your point, none of these people who started as salespeople at Open Mix know anything about remedy. They don't know the tiniest thing about what it's going to cost to get people out of a house who stop paying.
Right.
And that's a serious flaw in our business.
There's two other things that drive me crazy. Co-brokering, I don't know why people co-broker. If you have a computer and you can Google names, there's lots of lenders you can find in a heartbeat.
Tons.
So why would you end up charging a client double the mortgage fees to when you could have found the lender yourself? That drives me crazy. Number two is this: when these mortgage agents blast deals out to 5-6 different lenders, why do they do that? Why not just go to one, build a relationship?
The bottom line, I got quick answers to both those questions because that is the world I live in. It comes back to the education piece that you talked about. You've got mortgage agents who pass a course and go home. Their mortgage brokerage operation does not want them in an office. Mm-hmm. Their mortgage brokerage operation does not want to talk to them about anything. They don't want a mentor. If you want to stay in this office, you got to pay a desk fee of $300 a month. Okay. So at that point, everybody's at home. So what do you got to do at home? Social media. I mean, I got no training, I got no knowledge, I got no mentor, I got my broker owner, I can't even get through to him, he calls me back 4 days later. So I'm going to go on social media, and what ends up happening is you end up co-brokering. Because you're just throwing requests out into the social media space, mm-hmm. and 500 people reply, I can help you with that. So they're not lenders, they're other agents who are knowledgeable about where to go. Mm-hmm. And that's the answer to question number one. The answer to question number two is, again, no education, no mentoring, no training, no guidance. So what should I do? I'll send it to 10 lenders. See what happens. 10 is better than one, right?
But you even get people doing this that know better.
Yeah, well,
I'm not going to mention names.
Look, there's no excuse for people who know better. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But this is what we experience day in and day out. Look, this is the thing. One of the things about Nick, you remember the mortgage business where there was an office and there was a brokerage owner in an office and there was offices and there were people working in the office and there were people working in cubicles. This doesn't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. There is this huge network of teams. The broker's head office is like 300 square feet. He hires people who have other agents. He makes deals with other brokers who have other agents. It's an agglomeration game that's even weirder than what we were exposed to 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. At least 20 years ago, when you acquired agents, you wanted to know whether they actually knew how to spell mortgage. Like, is it J's? Is it a G? What is it? Okay. So the people who at the top cared. But today we have people say, well, I just need to accumulate numbers.
Yeah.
I just need to accumulate lenders because they have a dream of going to a home trust or going to an Equitable Bank and cutting deals for overrides that may or may not exist. Mm-hmm. And it leads to an environment where we want everybody. We just want everybody. We want to say that we have 100 mortgage agents, 200 mortgage agents. Hey, did any of them ever come to the office? You're an old man, Butler. It's just Zoom. It's just social media. It's just... You know, we just go, we put on a big FaceTime call and, you know, it's all good. Sure, it's good. I mean, it's ridiculous. At the end of the day, you know, we have supervision in our business because it's necessary, because new people don't know, and sometimes very experienced people stray. People get in trouble as mortgage agents. Sophisticated, experienced mortgage agents, their wives decide they hate them, probably rightly so, and leave them, and they're in a financial bind. They discover the casino, they discover whatever they discover, and experienced people can get in trouble too. You talk about good people getting in bad situations in their houses, good agents get in bad situations too. And then they start to act out, and because of the extreme lack of supervision in our business,
it's easy to do it.
It's easy. And they get lost.
Right.
They get lost and they end up doing things that aren't right. And that's why supervision is so important.
Wow. I completely agree. Like, I think this is a great industry, and I think, like you said, you can make a lot of money in it if you're focused and manage well and...
And do everything right.
And do everything right. Do like, everything you don't right. have to play silly bugger to make a lot of money in this business.
You do not.
So I appreciate you coming to be our first guest.
It's my pleasure.
And I hopefully people find it very informative. And
I got to tell one quick Nipkick Piano story. Oh, that'll be fast.
Okay, that's
because it's one of the best stories you can. That I tell. I say this to my own agents all the time.
Only one good story.
This is the best one, though.
Oh,
so okay. This was
Are
me.
You sure?
This was me. 24 years ago. So I'm new in the business. Nick was there. Nick was at Home Trust. And working on a file, I get an appraisal, Home Trust really doesn't want to do it. So I'm hot-headed, and I say...
Really hot-headed?
I want to talk to Nick Cipriano. Get Nick Cipriano on the phone, okay? So Nick gets on the phone, and what can I do for you? Okay, so this house is really very good, covenants are good, everything's good, property's great. Nick says, the property is not great. The property is right next to the sound barrier on the QEW. This property is crap. We're not going to lend at this high loan to value. That's not going to happen. And I said, Nick, you're wrong. I mean, I barely knew the guy. I mean, I'm 24 years. Nick, you're wrong. It's great. The borrower's great. Nick says, I have the solution. I said, great. What is it? He says, we're going to cross-collateralize your house because you love this deal so much. Okay? So you should have no problem with that. You've told me how great these people are, how great the property is. We're just going to put a second mortgage on your house while we do a new first mortgage on this guy's house. Problem solved. So that was my lesson for the rest of my life, okay? Every time the agent comes in to see me these days and says, Ron, I really think we should get our private money into this, and I look at it, this is crazy, this house. I tell the Nick Cipriano story every time, and the agent leaves knowing he's done. That's it.
There's other stories, but...
There's many other stories.
There's many others.
That was one of the clean ones, and really to the point.
Okay? That's right. That's a short one. There's some much longer ones that are X-rated.
There are
yes,
those.
I agree with that.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me in. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Okay, great.